Based on the fact that most people have concluded that AIs are superior in postmenopausal women, sort of the natural thought has been, well, let's take a premenopausal woman and make her postmenopausal woman and then give the best therapy for postmenopausal woman. And the strategy of ovarian suppression and ablation plus an AI is currently being studied in clinical trials. What are your thoughts about that? And do you think that there's a role for that right now in any kind of clinical situation in a non-protocol setting?
That's one of those questions where we really don't have solid information, and we're within a couple of years of getting such information from some of the ongoing trials. Actually, the Europeans have some trials that are going to give us some information, and there's some international trials looking at this. I'm very ambivalent about what the right answer is to this, partly because it isn't absolutely clear that doubly dropping estrogen levels is going to actually result in more benefit. It's certainly going to result in more risk, by the way, because you're going to have even lower estrogen levels, and you're going to have, therefore, more issue with osteoporosis and things like that. That the European studies that are looking at this have already shown. The women that get both ovarian suppression and also an aromatase inhibitor, those are the women that really had dramatic bone loss.
What about the role of HER2 positivity in selecting hormonal therapy? And in a patient, for example, premenopausal patient, multiple positive nodes, HER2 positive tumor, she's going to get chemotherapy and trastuzumab. But what about, again, the strategy of maybe being more aggressive and trying to use an AI with an ovarian suppression? What do we know about HER2 in response to hormonal therapy?
I'll tell you, the picture here is really mixed. For instance, in some of the aromatase inhibitor trials, adjuvant trials, the big study is the only one, and this is a trial that randomized patients between tamoxifen and letrozole. And they do have results. They're short-term results, but letrozole was better than tamoxifen in both HER2-positive and HER2-negative patients. So there have been some neoadjuvant studies that suggested that maybe patients who were too positive were the ones that particularly benefited by getting aromatase inhibitors. But right now, the strongest trial results that we have are that we can't pick an aromatase inhibitor over tamoxifen or is particularly beneficial over tamoxifen on the basis of HER2. Now, that's being looked at in the ATAC trial, which is anastrozole versus tamoxifen. And I think a lot of us are waiting for that result. Now, the other question that you've maybe alluded to with a very high-risk woman, and would you pull out all the stops? That's the one situation where I might be tempted to. And that is, you're looking at a woman, she's quite young, and say she's less than 30. You know that that woman is almost certainly going to start menstruating again. Ovarian suppression is probably an important part of her therapy. And then whether or not she would benefit by an additional tamoxifen or an aromatase inhibitor is something that right now is essentially a clinical trial question. But I think that a lot of us, for very high-risk women who are very young, actually tend to err on the side of, you know, that's the patient who we might use combined therapy off-study.